is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Drew Thornley, author of the new report, Energy and the Environment, Myths and Facts, which is published by the Manhattan Institute. It obviously focuses on energy policy, and it's something we've been talking a lot about on the program, from the cap and trade legislation working its way through Congress to the announcement from the EPA last Friday that it plans to regulate greenhouse gases. And Drew, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
One of the focal points of this report is just to try and get a handle on what the American people know and think they know about energy policy right now. What were the questions you were most interested in seeing that people really understood?
Well, you're right. We polled 1,000 Americans that are thought to be representative of the country at large, Democrat, Republican, Independent, through a range of demographics. And we asked about 18, 19 questions about basic energy policy topics, things like, who are our greatest suppliers of petroleum? Can we meet future energy need through conservation and efficiency? We asked questions about global warming and carbon dioxide. We asked questions about landfill area. We asked questions about the promise of renewable energies, just basic energy policy topics. And we found that on almost every question, the public is misinformed about these basic topics. And we realized that there are just some very common myths about basic energy and environment topics that exist in the public at large.
And let's talk about some of those misconceptions. Number one, the speed at which people believe that we can completely overhaul our energy producing systems.
That's exactly right. We asked some questions. We had a whole myth devoted to the promise of or the potential of renewables making a larger impact, and we had a myth about the promise of green jobs. And most people thought that within 10 years, alternatively fueled vehicles would replace conventional vehicles. Most people thought that alternative energies like wind and solar would make very large contributions to our electricity supply. And the facts just don't bear that out. The technological realities, the physics of these technologies, the economics don't work right now. Given the current situation, the economics, the physics, the technologies, our infrastructure, our transmission lines, we can't expect renewables to be anything more than a small contributor to our energy supply. Now, that may change in the future, but right now, given these factors, they are not set to be primetime players.
Another issue is what it will cost to transition to some of these alternative energy producing sources. People think it's going to cost less. That's not even close to true, is it?
It's not close to true at all. You're exactly right. We ask, do you agree or disagree that generating electricity from renewable energies will be less expensive than generating from coal or natural gas? 54% said that they agreed that wind and solar energy will be less costly than coal or natural gas. And we both know that wind is very, very expensive relative to conventional power sources, and solar is even more expensive. And that's why these industries, these nascent industries, are so propped up via federal subsidies, because without the federal subsidies, without the handouts, they could not be cost competitive at all. So the public is misinformed about how much it's going to cost us to transition to this green economy.
We also hear, of course, about our dependency on oil from the Middle East, and we do get a chunk of our energy from the Middle East, but people have a misinterpretation of just how much comes from there, correct?
They do, and this was question number one for us. The Manhattan Institute, when they did this report a couple years ago, and it was authored by Max Schultz, their senior fellow, they had this question on there then, and it's one of the few questions that we kept for this round of polling because it's so basic, but yet so important. We hear so much about Middle East oil, dependency on foreign oil, that we just thought we need to ask and see if the public is still misinformed about it. And Greg, what we ask is, which country exports the most oil to the United States? So in other words, who's our biggest supplier of oil? Well, 48.9% or 49% said Saudi Arabia, 15% said Iraq, just 13% got the right answer, and that's Canada. So 13% of our 1,000 respondents identified that Canada is our leading supplier of oil. In fact, in 2007, just 16.1% of all of our petroleum imports arrived from Persian Gulf countries.
We're talking with Drew Thornley. The report is Energy and the Environment, Myths and Facts, published by the Manhattan Institute. Drew, a couple minutes to go here. What do you believe is the impact of people not being told the truth, or at least the whole truth, about the situation involving our energy policy?
That's a great question. I think there are three major dangers from not basing policies on facts. And once again, that's the purpose of this report, is to shed some light, to say, here are the facts, do what you want with them. I'm not trying to tell you to go plan A or plan B, but make your decision based on facts and not myths. But I think there are three negative consequences from not basing on facts. Number one would be, we're going to run straight smack dab into the law of unintended consequences. Think ethanol mandate. We require large amounts of it, but we found that maybe it leads to a carbon debt. We burn our food, rising food prices. We certainly didn't expect that. The second thing is that we miss out on opportunities for technological advancement and economic growth. For example, no new nuclear facilities in 3 decades. Well, that's 30 years that we could have been advancing our nuclear power technology and training more and more of an adequate and skilled workforce. Lastly, when you don't base policies on sound science and technology, on facts and reality, the law gets ahead of science and technology, and it requires what is not feasible or possible. For example, requiring a national renewable portfolio standard. It's great to hope that a certain percentage of our electricity could come from certain technologies, but can we even do that given our limitations from the grid, given our lack of commercial scale storage, given the intermittency of these technologies? So we get ahead of technology, and we require, at great cost to consumers, what may or may not be impossible.
And Drew, unfortunately, that needs to be the last word. Thanks so much for taking us inside the report and talking about the potential consequences as well.
Well, glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
And Drew Thornley is the author of the new Manhattan Institute report, Energy and the Environment, Myths and Facts. This is Dateline Washington.